system is be a true follower of Jesus. You're not after the limelight, you're not after publicity, all you want is the Lord. You don't care whether you're going to travel the world or you're going to travel down villages and just meet with one tribal person, share the gospel to two and give thanks to God. All you want is to love Jesus, follow Jesus. Not follow people who want other things. You really want to follow Jesus. You want to be a follower of Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. You're always worshipping Jesus. You learn to be a true follower of Jesus. Your life will become a shining light. And after some time, everything that you proclaim, it says, is sounded forth throughout all the region. The Thessalonians have not even traveled all over those regions, yet their testimony traveled ahead of them. Almost everywhere I went, when I sometimes quote some of these men of God who have whose lives, although I never met them, some I met them had touched my life, and they said they heard about this person, places that person never have been to, and it's tremendous the impact of a life lived for God. Geographically, you may never travel, but if you love the Lord, your life will impact others. Speaking on the evangelical side, there are others like George Mueller. He never traveled the whole world. But yet, almost all evangelical Christians heard about George Mueller. All he did was take care of an orphanage. But he was a man who walked with God. And his life continued to influence others too. Today, because of his methods, because of his of the way he did things by following Jesus so closely. It's important for us to understand that waiting on Jesus is not doing nothing. Waiting on Jesus is actively participating in whatever Jesus brings to us. Waiting on Jesus is being faithful to all that he has given to you to do and to accomplish. Chapter 2, we consider the reward when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here that the key verse here is the last two verses. It says, what is our hope, joy, or crown of rejoicing? He says, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus? That's a very powerful statement. When we all meet the Lord Jesus Christ, our rewards are based on how much we have impacted, nurtured, and nourished other lives. It is not how much wealth we have gathered. It is not how much reputation we have gathered on this earth. It's not how high we have climbed up the social status. Although all these things God can give without any problem. But it's how many lives have you turned to God? That's the big question. That will determine our reward. Turning them to the Lord Jesus Christ, getting them born again, and then nurturing them. It's born again is just the beginning. See, there are two things that he did here to the Thessalonians in chapter 2. Number one, in verse 7, he was like a mother to them. For we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her children. So, the Apostle Paul says, they were like mothers to the Thessalonians. They nurture, carried them, love them. They give their lives to make other lives perfect. Number two, they were like fathers to them. That's in verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So they were both parents to those children. In other words, Paul was saying his spiritual children were his true rewards, were his true crowns in God. getting people to be born again is only the beginning. It is not like some extreme group, like the JW, so the Jehovah's Witness is one of the cults, that all they want is, you know, we can look at it correctly or wrongly. Winning souls is important. But if we win souls in order to earn pangkat, something is wrong. And then somebody gets born again, they say, oh, there's one more. Okay, praise God, now you're alone. Okay, now let me get another one. Let me hit 144,000. So the zeal is our different motive. I mean, we are not just, in as physical fathers and mothers, we are not just interested to have babies. We want children. And every father or mother can tell you that although the giving birth of a child is a tremendous experience, yet it is nurturing them up that is a bigger experience. But both are important. We cannot neglect witnessing either. But let's look at it as a whole process. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is not just go and preach the gospel. That's the one in Mark 16. Go and preach to every creature. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is go and teach. Go and teach and make disciples. That is to nurture them, to nurse them like a mother, and to train them like a father. And they will be our reward when Jesus Christ comes. Every one of us, unless you're called to celibacy, normally you will get married and start a home. And at first, because of your professional life, you may put off having children. But after some time, the desire for children may come and you want to learn what being a father is like and you have children. And then you feel that that's something complete in your life. What about your spiritual family? What about your spiritual family? Do you have spiritual children? You're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us is married to the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritual way. Do we have children? Jesus said, abide in me and my words abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. Fruit can be twofold. Fruit of our life and character, fruit of souls. But they both are related. In other words, we will be fruitful. Do you have spiritual children? Your heavenly reward is based on your spiritual children. How big is thy spiritual family? The old command to Adam and Eve was, be fruitful and multiply. And I think we have overdone it. World is facing a great population explosion. That command is almost fulfilled. But now that command is in the spirit realm. And the spirit realm, Jesus and God is still saying, be fruitful and multiply. The sad thing is that some have no multiplication. There's something wrong. They are not really going to look forward to meeting Jesus because all rewards are based on that. He said, I thought it's based on how much we have given. See, how much we have given is only indirectly related, because how much we have given ends up winning and bringing more people to the Lord. Jesus says, store not up treasures on this earth, but store up heavenly treasures. Everything that we have, whether it's our position, whether it's your education, or whether it's your wealth, or whether it's your physical ability or talents, everything is given as a gift from God to us in order to help make other people better people. People of God and people who love God people who acknowledge God and people who will turn to God all their lives. That's what our goal is. To help other people to know God, to love God. And there are three aspects that we want to look at as we go about gathering this reward. And they are found in chapter 2. Number 1, in verse 4. But as we have been approved by God, Paul talking about himself as an example, to be entrusted with the gospel, even as we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. In order to get a reward from God, it's number one, just now the father and mother is regarding the total goal and objective that bears on the main topic. Now this is the how part. Number one, what we do must be from the correct heart attitude, the right motivation. If it's done out of wrong motivation, it's done to please man, it's done to get attention, it's done to get publicity, it's done to gain reputation, it's done to please man, we lose our reward. We lose our reward. God looks at our heart. And all the time He's saying, son, daughter, are you doing it for me? For yourself? Or really for others? We have to examine our heart for reward. And that point is substantiated by 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul says here, in verse 2 and verse 3. Well, let's read verse 1, 2. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Love must be in our heart. Do we prophesy because we want to show that we are prophets? Or really because we love the people whom we are prophesying? Do we speak in tongues and let God use us in that area because it's a gift that we want others to know? Or it's really because we love the Lord and we love people. Remember, unless it's motivated by agape love, it has no edifying power. The next one, verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, that's very sacrificial. I don't know many people willing to give their bodies to be roasted. I would say that is very admirable of that person. But yet Paul said, if it is done without love, sorry to say, it's all in vain. And the person who is burned, his soul reached heaven, and the angel met him and said, what have you done? Say, look here, Lord. Report to the Lord and said, I did this. Look, I burned myself. Give all my house away. I own 3 HDB. I give them all away. And everything. Look, you know, I was burned. I was roasted. I give everything away. And angel would just say, do you do it for the Lord? And if the answer is no, the person goes up into heaven, all ready to receive the reward. God, where's my reward? The Lord just looked down and said, there's no rebirth.